at getting things done?
No.
You gonna read it?
No.
Ever?
No.
Okay.
I've like gotten the TLDR. Honestly, I'm pretty much a cynic when it comes to anything productivity. Pretty much.
That's funny because you just said it's the area of mental life that you're really interested in.
Well, I guess I'm interested in like what makes you happy and unhappy as far as commitments and how I react to those and like what's necessary and good and bad. Yeah. But
there's a really good book about that called Getting Things Done that you should read.
My philosophy is you can pick up any productivity, anything, and get inspired, and it will work if you make it work, and you will get a productivity boost, and good for you. If you're me, you'll get excited, and it'll just like fade away, and you'll be back to your normal self. And then you do that enough to go, yeah, maybe I should just stop with this, or when I need to be productive, just like read a blog post on like the next.
I've read Getting Things Done several times. I've always had that experience of getting really excited and then not following through.
Yeah.
But what I developed from it was a vocabulary to describe certain phenomena.
Okay.
That helped me categorize them in my head and know what I was thinking about or talking about. You know?
Okay.
So like the list that you keep of like blog posts you would like to write,
yeah,
or whatever.
Right.
Like that has a name, right? And there's a list in Getting Things Done called the Someday Maybe list.
Ah, right. Yep.
Which is like things that are not associated with any given project. They don't have a due date. They're just like things I would like to do someday maybe. And that is like not exactly your list, but like I do have a someday maybe list, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like those types of things where it's like, oh, like I didn't like have words for the someday maybe list, but what I did have was like a bunch of things I wanted to do someday maybe that were a psychological drain on my brain, because they weren't anywhere.
Yeah.
Right. And so now that I know that like I'm allowed to just call something a someday maybe, now I no longer have the obligation of feeling guilty about not having done this thing yet.
Yeah.
Right, I can just put it on the someday maybe list, and then someday maybe I'll do it.
Yep.
You know?
That's cool. I had a boss who was GTD, and he, you know, he was all like, get it out of your brain, get it out of your brain.
Yeah, you just don't like when other people tell you what to do. It's okay.
I think the someday maybe list is interesting. I think the thing, okay, my real answer to it is you're telling me this and I'm thinking about it and I'm thinking, oh, wouldn't it be crazy? Wouldn't it be cool if I did that? And if I did, and I'm getting excited because that's what I do. Mm-hmm. And then what's going to happen with it? Nothing. Or I'll make something,
maybe
I'll implement it.
Maybe you should allow yourself to get excited about something without the follow-up guilt of not doing it.
Yeah, that's probably true. But I think I find freedom in like knowing that I don't have that, like, I think you're right. And I do allow myself to get excited about many, many things, even knowing that I will not follow through. But you're right. There is definitely a complex of like failure that I'm like, if I don't follow through, it's failure. So I'm like, well, why would I want to fail? I don't want to fail. I want something that lasts me, you know?
Right.
So I don't know. I have found a degree of freedom in just sort of not following any
ignoring
of those things.
Things.
Just ignoring all those things and being like, well,
not for me.
I think the real key to productivity is focusing. That's the key.
Yeah.
So if you can, so if you want a productivity tip,
focus.
Just focus. And then
it's so hard to do.
Right. But like you could be a millionaire bestseller author if you just tell people one word, focus. Do you want to achieve your dreams?
Yeah, man.
Focus, you know, like there you go. Don't do stuff that is unnecessary. There's one productivity hack, you know, like,
yeah, I don't think that's like, I don't know,
I'm being really cynical.
Like, I just feel like incapable of doing that, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And I don't know whether that's like undiagnosed ADD or something, or like, you know, whatever, but I feel very much like the only way I can do anything is by constructing like a maze with like sharp corners,
yeah,
so that I can't bump into the walls, because otherwise like I'll like get distracted and never get to the end of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I have to, I don't know, like I have to like structure my entire life in a way where the only way through is through. Because if my brain believes for a second that there's anything else to do except for the thing in front of me, like I'll do anything else, you know?
Right. Yeah. That makes sense. I mean that, I mean, just from knowing you, like that's definitely like, yeah, your framework for like, oh, on my own, this thing won't happen. So why don't I build it into my life so that it happens?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
I recognize this, only way. Like this trend or this behavior pattern. So I'll just, you know, fix it in a way that's outside of my, so I'm not relying on discipline or myself to fix it. This is all going back to our discipline stuff.
Discipline December, bro.
Where I'm still very much, I still flirt with discipline a lot. I'm like,
well I'm getting,
and I'm not suggesting that you don't, you know,
I'm getting more comfortable with the idea of discipline, but I've reframed it as resignation.
Interesting.
So like the reason I put everything in my calendar within 30 seconds of hearing about it isn't because I'm very disciplined about it, is because I'm very resigned to the fact that like this is the only way this is gonna work, so I better do it. You know, but it's not because it's like, all right, like gotta buckle down and make sure this gets into the calendar because that's what a good boy would do, you know?
Yeah, right.
It's much more just like, well, if I don't put this in my calendar right now, I'm just lying to this person when I tell them I'm gonna be somewhere. So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, one of the things that might sort of be related, but I was thinking of it when you were talking about the someday things list.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might have, this might be a Basecamp thing. It probably is in like Getting Real or something. But I remember applying this at the last company I was at before Titan. There were these giant lists of features that we wanted, you know, like, and they would come in from business people, not as much from customers, but still like they would come in, you know, probably equally as much.
Yep.
And they would come in and they like, well, what happens to them? Well, you know, like this happens on every real life project. Like, okay, well, we'll make the list where you can put them all. Like, you know, you don't get to decide the priority.
The parking lot.
But yeah, you can like put, oh yeah, add it to the Trello. Oh, add it to the Asana. Oh, add it to the insert list of feature stuff here. And so the Basecamp thing, I think, and this is a while back, but it's like, just get rid of them. Like, just get rid of them all. You don't need a log. The things that matter will get done because they matter. So just delete them. And I remember fighting so hard for this because it's a hard thing to get business, at least those people, to do.
Yeah.
But I found immense freedom in deleting things I think I shouldn't delete, getting rid of things I think I shouldn't get rid of, donating things like physically in my life that I shouldn't donate.
Yeah. You know? It's similar to this concept of email bankruptcy.
Oh, yeah, right.
Which is just deleting all your emails.
Yeah.
And being like, if it's important, they'll email me back.
Yep. Wow. I declare desktop bankruptcy. I mean, like, there's just, it's so freeing. Like,
yeah.
That
no,
sort of
I
thing.
Literally think like some days I should just throw my computer in the garbage and buy a new computer because like my day would be better if I just installed PHP from scratch right now than if I tried to upgrade from 7.1 to 7.3.
Yeah, not an easy thing.
Whew.
Oh, yeah. So, but that's a thing. And I've in my own life, I've sort of come to like, I love buying things. You know, so we've talked about this, like I vowed to not buy anything new this year. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty frugal, so I think my love buying things is probably different than other people, but like but still like I do love acquiring things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, you know, but now I love buying used things because I impose that restriction on myself, so I go to thrift stores and stuff. But I find that I get equally as much joy from getting rid of things as I do from acquiring things. So
same.
I think I'm in this place where I'm just doing both a lot.
You're basically just like a pass through for things.
Yes. And it's you're, me you're, just feeding on the high of getting
something.
You're
just a discount code. You're a discount code for things.
Why?
Right? You, because, well, presumably you sell them for less than you bought them for, right?
Oh, I'm a discount code.
Right, so like,
yeah, totally.
You're,
yeah,
you're basically just like a
discount
way
code for, things.
For other people to buy
that
things for
phenomenal.
Cheap.
That's great. Yes, I am the Craigslist supplier. I'm.
Yeah. Yeah. But every ecosystem needs one.
Oh man, yeah.
Somebody who's just a tunnel for
with
things
the thrift
to go
store
through.
Thing. Like, at least it's a little less of a financial impact. But I'm like, oh yeah, I'll buy this thing. Oh, I mean, so many stories, but like. I buy this thing and, oh yeah, so what? I'll just donate it if I don't want it. Like, so what? Mm-hmm. I lost $5, like $2, mm-hmm. whatever. I'll just donate it. And I'm like, oh, and I feel good. Like, yeah, I'm just going to, I'm basically just giving them money. Yeah. That's good, right?
Yeah.
Salvation Army or whatever.
Goodwill.
Goodwill.
Yeah.
Name it. Yeah. So, but really it is a cycle. Like, I recognize that the cycle is, it's me just chasing this, these false things, like this high, it's me buying into the illusion that acquiring something will somehow improve my life. And then, well, getting rid of it actually does improve my life.
Mm-hmm.
Both ways. It's a high. And if I could mm-hmm. just stop like being addicted to the high, then maybe I could.
What
just...
if you accepted that you enjoy the high?
And that's pretty much where I'm at. Yeah. But. That's interesting. I feel like that's not an end. What do you think?
What do you mean it's not an end?
Like, this is the sort of thing that, like, I feel like you can't just settle on that because...
What if you accepted that you never settle anywhere?
Wait, okay. So you can't settle on that because settling on that would mean like, okay, so I don't want to settle on that because I still want to reach the mountaintop where I transcend mm-hmm. the cycle, right?
Right.
Okay. So then say your next piece that breaks that one.
Well, I'm not saying you should settle on it. I'm just saying you should do that now.
I should ascend the mountaintop, and the mountaintop is me giving in to my...
Well, the mountaintop is... I mean, not to get all Buddhist, right?
Oh, let's but go like, there.
The mountaintop, there is no future and past, right? There is only
right.
the present moment.
Yep.
So all of this like aspirational attachment to this like idealized mountaintop that you're going to reach with your relationship to things and money
is equally right? as much a facade as me buying something at the thrift store.
Yeah, I think so. Right. Like, isn't the high of getting closer to the mountaintop just the same as the high of getting a new sweater? Right.
Yeah.
Like, you get the high of returning the thing because in your mind you become closer to this idealized person, but that person's not real, right? That person is like a fiction that you aspire to.
Sure.
It's a useful fiction, but it's only a fiction, right?
Yep.
And so the what I'm saying is there's suffering in the self-flagellation of saying I haven't arrived yet.
Yeah, right.
Constantly.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And so what if rather than demeaning yourself for enjoying the high, you just accepted yourself as someone who enjoys this sweater in this moment and not add all of the expectations and attachments about how long I'm supposed to enjoy this sweater for and whether I'll be a good or bad person if I don't enjoy it next week as much as I enjoy it now, and whether I'll be a slightly better person if I then donate it back, you know, like all of that, like future tripping about the present moment, I to me feels a little bit like unnecessary suffering, right? When you know yourself well enough to know, I'm going to like this now, I'm going to feel bad about it later, blah, 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 right? But if you can just love yourself enough to be like, hey, like, I love the guy who's going to feel bad about this later as much as the guy who's going to love it now, or whatever. And not, I'm not talking about you anymore now, I'm just talking about Buddhism.
Sure.
But you can decrease the amount of unnecessary suffering and increase your ability to be of service to other people, I think. Because like the more consumed I am with myself and who I'm eventually going to become, the less capable I am of helping someone or something like that. That's like the general like worldview of Buddhism, is like, get away from the attachments, get away from saying should to yourself all of the time, so that you can accept yourself, so that you can accept others, so that you can accept the world, so that you can accept all the pain and suffering along with all the joy. Accept it all, and then that's how you get to the real mountaintop.
I definitely agree with that. That is pretty much where... That's pretty much what I believe. Yeah, same. And like you said, you're not speaking directly to me, but in real life, like anything that I consume is pretty much along those lines. Either like Buddhist thought or Taoist thought, or like mystic Christianity or mm-hmm. mystic Hinduism, like stuff like that. Pretty much it's all getting at that same thing, which is pretty crazy and counterintuitive to me. But in life, so I guess the disclaimer is that, because sometimes these conversations we fall into the Caleb is the self-flagellator, the chaser of the next thing or whatever, right? Well, and I'm not accusing you of casting.
I am 100% that guy as well,
right? And I'm not accused, but in these conversations, and so I guess I want to note that that though I do have those tendencies, I am on a trajectory towards exactly what you're describing, like recognizing even me chasing the mountaintop as its own form of suffering, personal, hating myself, looking for the next thing or the future me or whatever, but totally, like I'm still completely under those forces. One of the things that this is like probably written down 1,000 times for thousands of years, but one of the things that always like rings around in my head is like, every good form of spirituality is some form of letting go. Like any good form of mental or anything, like mm-hmm. anything that is true for me is some form of letting go, whatever mm-hmm. that is. So if it's letting go of the mountaintop, if it's letting go of the promise that this thing will, that buying this book will make me a smarter person or somebody who reads books, or, mm-hmm. Or letting go of the idea of needing to let go, or, like it's as concrete or as abstract as
letting go of my plan for the year and my plan for the day and my plan for, whatever.
Yes. And I think, and I don't know if everyone is immediately capable of doing this. And maybe that's like the skill that I need to develop more, because right now my current self is bad. A joke. But this, like I think I'm pretty good at entertaining what ifs, that I found that is a pretty useful tool of like things that mm-hmm. you would never think, but like if you do entertain it, like what if I just wiped my whole desktop, like for real, like what if mm-hmm. And you kind of put yourself there for a second and you taste the sweetness of that, and then you go, I think I could let go of that. Or what if I didn't become a senior developer at my job, mm-hmm. what if I actually let go of that? What would my life be like? What if I actually let go of being successful financially? Like, what mm-hmm. if? What would I do? And then tasting that, and that being, and feeling immense freedom in that, which I do, and then thinking like, I don't know. And that's the path for me, is what would it be like to actually let go, to really let go?
Yeah. So Alan Watts has this exercise that he does where it's like, if today was like your last day alive and you knew it and you could do anything, what would you do? Right. Or like, what would you do if money was no object? He asked both in different times. And those sorts of questions where it's like, if all of the external motivations and internal like guilt motivations about like time and a life well lived and a legacy and all of this other stuff, like, go away, and it's just like, I have 24 hours, Like, what do you do with those 24 hours, you know? And when I think that way, it's hard for me to procrastinate because there's no putting off to tomorrow what I could do today, right?
Yeah.
And it's also hard for me to feel a ton of guilt because there's no tomorrow to regret today.
No.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a cool little idea. So, like, when I really am able to bring my life back to, like, this sort of one day at a time, day by day, moment by moment thing, the smaller I'm able to get the time period that I live in, the more content I am.
Yeah.
But there's this other part of me that feels like that is a very unproductive way to live, and you don't get anywhere.
Right.
Living breath by breath. Like, you have to make a list. You have to have a plan.
Sure.
You know? And I've seen evidence that people who make lists and have plans are more successful at achieving their goals. And so I'm constantly in this battle of, like, well, I'd like to have some goals and achieve them, but I would also like the freedom of having no goals and no,
yeah,
you know, attachments and no expectations and being able to just take every moment as it comes. And that's probably my major inner fight, and the place where I have the least, like, peace is in the fight between, like, the ultimate control of planning everything down to the most minute detail and executing it excellently, and releasing complete control over the plan and accepting everything perfectly. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, those are the two ideals, and I, like, have, like, some sort of weird worship of both that I'm unable to, like, let go of. And so I can't, right, I'm unable to simultaneously let go of the two, you know?
Yeah.
So I can let go of one and vacillate to the other, or I can let go of the other and vacillate back to the one.
Right.
But I've very rarely found myself, like, totally free of either constraint.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I imagine that's a common tension. Yeah. I mean, I completely identify with that tension. I found Richard Rohr, he's a guy, he's a Christian mystic, but by mystic,
a non-dualist,
a non-dualist, yeah. For anyone listening who's, like, weirded out by the word mysticism, it's not like mystic, like sparkles and mystical, like, woo-woo, maybe woo-woo. I won't use the word woo-woo. But yes, non-dual is the best way to describe it. He's a non-dual Franciscan. He's actually, like, a Catholic priest, but he's the craziest priest I've ever heard. And his, I find, like, him to be completely refreshing because he's so content in the balance. Like, he is the Zen of the tension. So he, like, when asked, like, do you live, you know, so he wrote a book called The Naked Now. I highly recommend it. And if you have a Christian background, it's even more applicable. But yeah, that naked now, like, really becoming the now and really engaging in the now. You know, somebody asked him, like, you know, are you the now guy all the time? Like, you know, he's a priest, and he's done lots of, he has a hermitage, and he does lots of, like, retreats, and yeah, he's a hermit, or, like, a, you know, the monastic movement, whatever. And his, you know, his response is always like, well, not all the time. You know, he's like, I still, you know, want people to know that I'm a priest, and I went to this, and I've written this many books, and I've, you know, but for a number of hours a day, if I keep at my practices, I manage to get back to a place of now. You know, he would say something like that. Like,
yeah.
Like, he's very much like, well, there's a balance. I'm a human. Come on. Does anybody live in the now? No. Like, right. I'm not a deity, but I balance and bounce back between the two of them. And I find that, you know, to be kind of my life pursuit. So I don't know. I think as you know, like, the answer, like you said, is letting go, even of your discontent for the tension between the now and the,
yeah,
you know. Yeah, mm-hmm. And the striving. But there's always that.
Striving.
You can get all like high up there, which is funny because the high up there is actually the down there. Mm-hmm. But then at the end of the day, there's always the. But yeah, you got to get shit done, and you got to like do your job and be good at it, and like, you know, all the like the real life. Yeah, but just make the damn list. Mm-hmm. You know, which I always find refreshing. Yep. They're like, yeah, you know, whatever. But you got to make
just make a list.
Just make the freaking list. Yeah.
Yeah,
but Alan Watts, I followed his Twitter account if anybody is interested in a fun, like occasional, thoughtful. He's the guy who like brought Buddhism to the West. And he's got, so good way to consume him. Somebody's fan Twitter account.
Gotta love it.
Gotta love it. Oh, yeah, we went there. That's more philosophy and spirituality than we've ever done.
On the podcast. We had an episode called Philosophy, and it had less philosophy than this.
It's true. Yeah. And this is mostly like Eastern philosophy.
That's my jam.
That is also my jam.
Oh.
So, win-win.
Win-win.
Win-win. So, oh, really quick, I had a thought. Might as well just do it. There's a Netflix documentary called... what's it called? It's about Bill Murray. Have you heard of it or seen it?
Oh, yeah. I've seen the cover of it. I haven't watched it.
Okay. It's pretty cool. And I think somebody wrote a book called The Tao of Bill Murray. So there's a book out there called The Tao of Pooh, which is like why Winnie the Pooh is a Taoist sage. But I thought of that when you were sort of describing this like the mental practice of pretending that today's your last day, you know, that like you don't even have to feel guilty because there's no you tomorrow to worry about. So what are you going to do? And so he sort of in this documentary, they portray him as somebody who just kind of embraces or realizes the need to be awake, and that so he does weird random things like just like going up to people and saying like nobody's gonna believe you, like he's in like a the guy's like peeing in a bathroom stall and he goes up behind him and he says like taps him on the shoulder, the guy looks behind him and says nobody's gonna believe you, like walks away. So there's all these stories of Bill Murray just showing up and doing random things and just delighting people, like showing up at their parties, at their dinner house or their dinner parties, like bartending like randomly, caring like deeply about one random person, wanting to hear all about them and like not really caring about anybody else. So there's that concept of like being awake, you know, like what would you do, like how would you live if you knew, if you weren't sleeping, you know, which I find inspiring. But then I also think like the Tao of Pooh or Lao Tzu, like he would be more like, well, I'll just do what I want to do, or I'll just let whatever happen.
Yeah.
So maybe what you would do is what you would do anyway if it was your last day.
Interesting.
Or nothing. Just like watch TV. You have one day to live. Yeah. Just
it's like play Overwatch.
Yeah. Well, I will just play Overwatch.
Maybe I'll finally get out of silver.
Is that some tier of...
Yeah, it's like a ranked tier. It's, you got to get out of silver to get the gold. Okay. That's what I hear.
Okay, yeah. No, I could have guessed. Could have guessed the next medal there. D. Cole. It's late into the night. This episode went from concrete to abstract. Let us know what you think, listener, for the minority of people who've made it to this point.
Yeah,
maybe just next tweet we'll at us and Webpack. Tell us you made it to this point, or like I don't know, like
yeah, did you make it?
Did you make it to this point? If you did, tweet at us.
Here's the real question: are you here now? If so, please tweet at us.
Indeed.
Good podcast.
Good podcast, Brother Daniel.
Ah.
Big sigh.